kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I mean, I didn't die this week, so I guess I'm fine.
I mean, it's only been like 2 days since we last talked.
A lot happens in 2 days when you're me. It's perilous territory.
2 days is life and death in your world.
Oh, I'm old and I'm feeble. Shit happens.
Well, luckily for you, there's someone else here who could help us out and keep things moving and rolling along. From the streaming duo Night on Fire, it's Carl. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing all right, man.
Was that a good enough introduction? I don't know your last name, so it's just Carl.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
You're just Carl today.
Just Carl.
Just Carl.
So how are you doing, Carl?
Yeah, just hanging in there, man. You know the personal side of my life right now, or at least what I care to share about that, but that has its own place elsewhere. Right now, I'm just happy to be here, man. And, you know, actually have a chance to be part of this while I'm not at work.
Shit show.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the implied be part of this shit show.
It's good to be a part of this podcast absolute train wreck. I'm scared
They're
for my life.
Same thought process there, I guess.
Oh, man. So it's E3 this week. We covered all the E3 news on our last episode, which just released the day that we're doing this, because Twitch, hooray. Carl, you weren't here for that. What were your thoughts on E3?
So really, the last podcast was basically the recap that I needed for E3. there was a lot that happened.
Did you just like stay out of the news while it was going on?
Yeah, pretty much. Not by choice, but yeah, that was pretty much it. That Final Fantasy VII reveal trailer or gameplay reveal, that was huge for me. Because, yeah, huge Final Fantasy VII guy, currently playing through Final Fantasy VII right now, and so looking forward to that remake, and just wanting it to drop so badly for so long, and seeing that they're actually handling the battle system from what I see, doing it in the perfect blend just makes me so happy.
Yeah, I mentioned when we were going through all the notes that I like the blend of real-time combat and the whole active time battle where you can use commands and stuff like that. It looks like a really neat twist on the battle system.
Because, like, Final Fantasy VII, that was the first one to actually introduce the concept of active time battle, because everything before then was purely just turn-based battle systems of through Final Fantasy VI, and this is when they actually started changing things to a more active system, like everything's happening and you have to keep up.
I thought 6 had that as well.
I remember 6 was still menu based on SNES.
Someone bust out in a Super Nintendo and let us know if Final Fantasy VI has has active time battle or not. I can't remember. I'll fire up my SNES classic and check it out.
You actually have one?
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't have doubted you.
I have the SNES classic and the NES classic. I do not have the PlayStation classic, but now that you could find them for like $30, I might jump on one.
Yeah.
That's about what it's worth.
Doesn't have Parasite Eve in the U.S. It's still overpriced.
Yeah, that sucks. I wish we had Parasite Eve.
I'm still salty.
What about you, Carl? Do you have any of those systems?
No, I don't have any of those systems, mainly just because, I don't know, the whole appeal of a console that only has pre-installed games is still kind of foreign to me, because I still remember, like, walking around the mall when I was, like, first had money in the Navy, and seeing these kiosks showing these NES knockoff systems with 100 games installed for $20, and honestly that's what it reminds me of. But I don't know, maybe different considering it's an actual licensed system from Nintendo, but honestly that's all it reminds me of.
Yeah, they're back to being tough to find again, though. They're back out of print. Which is a shame. They've been out a while, but I can understand why Nintendo is like, all right, we've had enough of these. Time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cole, did you ever plan on getting one or no? Didn't you say your sister wanted one?
We did get my sister one.
Mm.
So she enjoys it. Every now and then she sits down and plays Mario Brothers, and then she texts me about how she was never as good at video games as I was, and she wishes I was there to beat it for her. So.
And then, here we go. Dark Mika in chat. Final Fantasy VI had active time battles with the ATB bar and is also the first that let you skip turns.
Uh-huh. Well, then.
We are all learning things today.
How about that?
Why would you want to skip turns?
Because I played 6 after 7.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't have any consoles growing up. PC was the first time I got to really play a mainline Final Fantasy, because Final Fantasy Legends doesn't exactly tie into that whole progression
on the Game Boy ones. Yep. Yeah.
Pretty much all I had growing up.
Those are all Saga games, though, aren't they? And they just changed them to Final Fantasy in America because that was a name. People knew what the hell Final Fantasy was.
You're probably right. I was too young to know anything about that.
I want to say they were Saga, but I might be wrong on that. I'm wrong on a lot of things. It's what I do. It's why I'm on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You're just here to yell that for fucking up.
So this is the point of the show where we would talk about the news of the week, but we covered that on the last show, and I didn't really keep track of anything else that happened in the past 2 days because I've been babysitting. So what do you two want to talk about?
So I can tell you one thing. Let's Lego Forza 4 came out today.
Have you played it?
That is a blast. Yes.
Tell us about your time with it.
So starting out with Forza, Forza 4 Horizon, just started playing it today, going through all the seasons, because that's a new thing for the game. This is the first Forza Horizon game since the first one that actually captured me and made me want to continue playing it. So it got me in with the $1 Game Pass Ultimate. It kept me in with the 40% off the Ultimate Edition to bring it down to $60 straight.
Nice.
So I was like, yep, may as well just go all in on this. Oh, that Ultimate Pass also includes all DLC, including the Lego DLC that I'm already going to buy. So, yeah.
Wait, it's included in Game Pass Ultimate?
Well, no, it's not included in the Game Pass Ultimate. It's included in
the Ultimate Edition of the game.
Of the game, yeah.
All right.
Which,
I thought for a second,
way, is on sale for 40% off for the next 3 or 4 days. Coincidence? I think so.
The E3 sale, so.
Huge DLC drop, and they want to get people going in, like me. But,
they got you. They hooked you in.
They absolutely did. So I didn't think that the Lego cars would actually work within the Forza universe, but it absolutely does, and it is, as pardon the pun, awesome. as it actually, it just feels amazing. It feels great to play. It's got that Lego quirk to it, so it never takes itself too seriously, and it's just a joy going through the missions and progressing. And of course, you progress by collecting Lego bricks. So, what's there not to like?
Obviously. Did you play the Hot Wheels on Forza Horizon 3?
So, I never got that far into Forza Horizon 3, so I didn't get to the point of wanting to pick up the Hot Wheels expansion.
Mm. I was going to ask if it was what your thoughts were compared to Hot Wheels, but.
Yeah, I wish I had that comparison for you there.
No Time for Games saying it is amazing, though. I need to fire that up.
Official review.
Yeah, our official review. It is amazing.
Also, the cherry on top is Lego gets its own radio station. Awesome radio.
Oh my gosh.
Non-stop. What's on it? Everything is awesome.
Is that it?
That is it. That is the only song you ever get, because that is the only song you ever need.
Are there at least different versions, or is it just the one version?
It's just that song on loop.
Okay.
Oh, gee.
Everything is awesome.
Bless you.
Cole, what are your thoughts on Lego Forza?
I'm probably never going to get the time to play it. Because I bought the Hot Wheels DLC for Forza Horizon 3. I bought it for myself and Studa at the exact same fucking time. Neither one of us have ever loaded it up.
Oh man.
So I know damn good we're not gonna get the hit for the four.
It's so good.
This is my life.
Just
I imagine the kids would enjoy it though.
Yeah. I will say for anyone like overwhelmed by like all the cars and everything from main Forza, you can just jump straight into the Lego Forza and not even worry about it. Just play with Lego cars. It has its own progression through everything.
Oh.
So, yeah, you don't have to worry about the main Forza game if you just want to play with Legos.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing at all.
That is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's funny.
Fucking Joe.
Oh, man. So what else, Carl? What else caught your eye for E3?
Man. I'm trying to think.
Or here's a question for all of us. Who do you think, quote, won E3 this year?
Is there a question? Really?
I mean, a lot of people are giving it to Nintendo because of their Direct showing, which I admit the Nintendo Direct was amazing. There was a lot of good stuff during that Nintendo Direct.
No. I mean, it was fine, but no.
I like that that's your answer. No. A lot of people liked it. No.
You know me.
A lot of people are fucking wrong.
I'm waiting for the next installment of Metroid Prime, but not happening this year for obvious reasons.
Yeah, ever since they scrapped what they had and started over with Retro.
As I said, understandable. Take your time. Make it good. Make it a proper Switch release for Metroid Prime.
That's apparently one of the reasons why Animal Crossing's not coming out till next year. The reports are that Nintendo didn't want to have any kind of crunch time to force the game out to meet a deadline, so they just bumped it to March, which I think that's how it should be, instead of overworking your employees.
That is quite a change of pace for Nintendo, though, because they have a long-standing history of dragging their employees through hell and high water at crunch. Like, somebody had linked an article earlier where one of their developers, a director for a Nintendo game, and I don't remember which one it was now. I guess I could Google it, but fuck. But, like, he was legit hooked up to an IV drip and worked 13 months without a day off to finish a game because of crunch. And yeah, Mika says it's Japan as a whole, and that's how they function. And it is. It's like it's a horrible aspect of their culture to
the Smash bring. Guy did that. Sakurai, I guess. I didn't know it was that bad that he had an IV drip going on.
Yeah, like he was so sick he needed an IV drip, and he was still working.
That's insane. Crunch is just that's something that needs to go away.
Masahiro Sakurai.
Yeah.
Continued working while sick, hooked up an IV drip. That was the director for Super Smash Brothers. Yeah, so I mean, that's a problematic situation. That is not, like, we think of crunch and it's bad enough that, you know, we have employees working long hours and they're not unionized and, you know, they're putting in 20 hours in a day to finish a game by deadline when you could just fucking delay that shit.
Yeah.
But I mean, Nintendo's got a history of going above and beyond. And Mika did say, you know, it's Japanese culture, but we should speak out that's not a good culture. That's not a good way to run your show. And
to be fair to Nintendo, I'm pretty sure the issue with Sakurai was one of those situations where Sakurai himself didn't want to stop working on his game.
Yeah.
And again, it's not culture. A situation where Nintendo was forcing him while he was sick. I think it was just like, I want to finish my game. This is my work. This is my art. I will be there to complete it no matter what.
Yeah, that's, again, that boils down to the culture aspect of it, but any company at all should just straight up say, no, we're not going to let you work like that.
Yeah, it's like, hey, take the week off, get some NyQuil, take a rest, take a breather.
He had repetitive strain injury in his right arm. So he traded out the keyboard and mouse. This is thanks to AnimeNewsNetwork.com, to cite my source. But he traded out his keyboard and mouse, which was exacerbating the condition, for a trackball. And he verbally dictated his emails. But his arm's condition still worsened.
Damn, that's so crazy.
Yeah. So he still continued to debug and playtest games with a joystick.
That is ridiculous.
Way more than what I would do.
A lot more dedicated than I am.
Yeah, that's I like, we shouldn't.
I mean, technically, that's a lie, saying that's more dedicated than I am, because I literally did an episode of this show in a hospital after I had back surgery. Carl, I don't think you know that story.
No.
You were going to the emergency room one time and stopped and set up your computer to record 7 hours of dead air so that when I did an interview, it would pick it up.
There's a fun story. We had an interview for the game Fe, however you want to say it,
yeah,
from Zoink. And we had a really early interview scheduled with, was it Alexandra?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Cole and I were talking. It was going to be at like 7 or 8 in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. And at like 5 o'clock, I was getting really bad chest pains. And Ashley wanted me to go to the ER and get checked out just in case it was something serious.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't, but I knew I had this interview. So I talked with Cole. I set up Skype to automatically accept any calls, and I actually tested it by setting up a completely separate Skype account on my phone to call my computer to make sure it picked up. I set OBS to record the time I left the house until I got home, which was 7-8 hours later, and I crossed my fingers. Lo and behold, I come home, and there's an hour-long chunk of actual audio in the middle that I got to edit.
Nice.
So I couldn't, that was the first segment of the show I ever missed, and it was because I thought I was having a heart attack.
I nailed that interview, though. I'm proud of that one.
You nice. Did. You held down the fort while I was out.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to quit this fucking show and just leave it to you.
Never fucking quitting.
I see what this is. This is a recruitment that you had me on for.
Yep. You're the next co-host, Carl. What do you think?
Yeah, every time we have a guest, we have a guest, I'm like, is he planning my replacement or his?
Nah, I'm going to go down with this ship. It's already flooded and sinking, but I'm sticking with it.
Sea of Thieves style, playing the hurdy-gurdy.
Yeah, I'm up in the crow's nest playing the hurdy-gurdy. Oh, shit. In other news, I'm drinking new Coke.
I saw you post about that. I think it was on Facebook. While I was doing my pre-stream stroll through Facebook and telling my sister not to call.
Nice. Does anybody remember New Coke from the 80s?
I mean...
No. That's when I was born.
I was born in 81. Because I'm old.
But I remember a lot of 80s stuff because my sister was 14 years older than me. And so, like, she never left the 80s. And
I wouldn't mind going back, shit.
Yeah, I mean, even though I was, like, coming into my own in the 90s, I still co-opted a lot of her 80s teendom at the same time because of that age split between us. So, like, I'm just as hardcore 80s as I am 90s. Like, I'll listen to Bon Jovi and then Wu-Tang. It's fine. So I do remember, like, you know, New Coke, and I watch Stranger Things, and I'm just like, I remember those days.
Now, well, Stranger Things is why New Coke is, well, quote unquote, back.
Yeah.
Coke's doing a mail order thing where you pay $20 goddamn, you get 2 mini glass bottles of Coke, one of Coke, one of Coke Zero, that has a Stranger Thing label, and then you get 2 cans of New Coke, of the actual New Coke formula from the 80s. Thankfully, they're not actual cans from the 80s.
Hope so.
Yeah, I'm checking the.
Check the expiration date. New
Coke recipe is rated for what, 40 years now of dust.
Yeah, it expires in next year in February, so I'm good.
Great. So maybe it is.
They're like Twinkies that last forever.
Yeah, sure.
It really does. Like, you would be surprised the amount of food and drinks and things that we put expiration dates on that don't need it.
Like what?
Twinkies are one of them. Things like ketchup and mustard, they live for years beyond what the expiration dates say. Canned foods. The whole thing is that, like, people don't trust food in the grocery store unless it's got an expiration date on it.
Yeah.
So if they don't see that expiration date, they think that it's, you know, chock full of shit that's going to keep it on the shelf for 1,000 years, which is true. It is. But they just don't buy things that don't have expiration dates. That's why we have like 40% of food produced in the U.S. goes to landfills, because we see expiration dates and we chuck it out, but really it's good for months and even years beyond it.
Damn.
Like, there's whole focus groups that just focus and research how long into the future people are willing to buy items based on the expiration dates.
And then there's milk.
Yeah. Like, there really are some things that go, but even milk is still, though, like, the expiration date is way sooner than when it actually spoils.
Oh, no. Yeah. I've had milk that, like,
don't open it.
I've had milk go bad. It, like, brand. It's a brand thing. But I've had milk go bad before its date as well. But in general, it should last about 2 weeks past its date.
Nah, fuck that. As soon as it's the day of, I pour that shit out and buy a new one.
You're complicit in food waste, though.
I'm more.
But that is one of the reasons that, like,
I'm more of the experimental state, the like being able to tell when the milk is bad. If I can smell the milk, it's gone.
Yeah.
See, now, unless it's got chunks, we're probably.
that's far beyond acceptable.
But that's one of the reasons that, you know, we grow our own food on, you know, and if we could, we'd raise our own milk and stuff too, but I don't have the ability. I can barely hold a pencil, let alone milk a fucking cow. But see that one happen. But that's one of the reasons in our house, like, we try to be as low waste and as sustainable as we possibly can. So, you know, we raise our chickens, we raise our own eggs. We wanted to do meat chickens this year. Our barn burnt down, so we're SOL there, but maybe next year. But, like, we don't just throw our food scraps into the trash and then put the trash out. Instead, we rake it out and we use it to feed the birds, and then the birds turn it into eggs, and so then it recycles instead of going bad.
That life.
Anything you can eat, chicken can eat. They don't give a fuck.
Much lower tolerance than we do.
Yeah, they don't have taste buds, and they eat rocks. So,
I mean, some humans eat rocks too. We're not all the brightest species. True.
They call that a medical condition.
Aka, what pregnant women
get. We don't have gizzards.
Yeah.
Dark Meek is saying, I rarely drink milk, so I don't care about its date. I've drank milk when it soured, but it hadn't become cottage cheese yet. Unlike you fuckers, I can't smell, so I don't know when shit is bad based on smell or much on taste. I've drank and ate things that were really bad numerous times. Bleh.
Nah, because what you have there is a superpower.
Like, that's the problem in our house, that milk doesn't, like, we don't go through milk very quickly.
She asked, how many times have I eaten rocks? Oh, man. Believe it or not, never. Never eaten rocks. I've eaten chocolate rocks, the ones that are like chocolate candies, but they look like rocks.
I thought that was a euphemism for poop.
No, no.
Like, I had to stop and think about it.
What I needed to do is find some Pop Rocks from the 80s. And drink your new Coke. Let me know how that goes.
Do it on stream, on stream.
I don't have any Pop Rocks. If I did, I totally would.
You can totally get Pop Rocks at like Walmart.
Yeah, but that means I would have to get up and go somewhere.
No, I'm gonna text Ashley and ask her to get you some on the way home.
Nowadays.
No, man, we'll have to do that next week on the show. I'll try to find Pop Rocks.
And line it up right along with Cinnamon Challenge and Tide Pods.
Gone.
Yeah, you want to have another crystal to the hospital? There you go.
I love the commercial when they had like the new and improved Tide Pods. They're like Tide Pods 2.0. I'm like, enhanced flavor. Better than ever.
The number one took some Tide Pods with her in a little jar down to the college so she could do her laundry. and she sent me she's been sending me like little clip videos of everything she's done, just walking to classes, working in her class, doing study tables, whatever they'll let her have her phone out for. And so she was doing her laundry and she sent me a little clip and she was like, this is the real Tide Pod challenge. And she threw the Tide Pod in the washing machine.
That's amazing.
She's fantastic. She really is.
This is the real Tide Pod challenge. Funk, close the lid, turn it on, insert your quarters. Just stand there for an hour. Like, challenge completed.
Level up.
How many people would watch that entire video?
Oh, she'd be rich. She really would.
I think that would go viral. I don't think you've seen that use of Tide Pod yet.
The latest viral sensation isn't a 15-second clip like we're used to. It's a 6-hour-long video of someone just doing laundry all day.
But it would be a teenage girl. Teenagers, getting teenagers to do laundry is their own special challenge. Like, you walk into her room and, like, you're just swimming through laundry and just finally, like, just fucking do your laundry.
You got to make the clothes last longer than they're supposed to, and then find the random bits of clothes that you have laying around the room that you haven't worn this month.
That's her extra struggle with being down there at the college, because, like, everything is super structured. They don't have the choice to, like, opt in and out of activities. So she's just sitting there like, no, I'm supposed to find 20 minutes to go put my crap in the washer. I have to walk downstairs. Laundromat
or something like that.
What is it?
I'm guessing it's a community laundromat or something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple washers down on the first floor.
That's always the most annoying thing to deal with. It's not on your own time. It's on everyone else's that you can fit yourself into.
Yeah, so she's struggling with, like, fitting into that kind of a situation. Like, she's never lived in an apartment or anything like that. So it's a whole different world for kid who's used to growing up in the woods than to go and have, like, to share close quarters with a ton of people that you don't know. And she's discovering very quickly that she hates everybody.
Yes!
Welcome to adulthood.
She sent me a video. You're catching on quick. She's like, they have four person suites. And so, like, they have their own bathroom and shower and everything in their little room, but they do have to share with three other people. And so one of her friends is in the program as well. And that's one of her roommates, because you could choose your roommates. But since they were the only two that were going to room together from their school, they ended up getting put with two other girls that they didn't know. That's been a whole kit and caboodle. Of course, the one ended up sick with the stomach virus. She's puking all over the damn place. And then she messages me this morning. She's like, I guess we got more room in the dorm. And I'm like, why? What happened? She goes, the other girl dropped out because she had to walk too much.
Oh,
she didn't want to walk through her classes. So she drops out of a free program that readies you for college.
Oh, baby.
Well.
Oh, poor baby, half a walk.
Oh my gosh, that's 90% of number one's videos too. It's just like, hi, I'm walking to a class, see you in an hour.
Oh man, I can't wait for her to get home and she's like all hardened on life and like she walks in the door, she kicks the door open, her sleeves are rolled up, she's smoking a cigarette, has a teardrop tattoo.
I would tolerate the tattoo, but I would cut her if she come in this house with a cigarette. I have standards, god damn it.
Mom's <I'm> home.
it's been a different experience for her though, because she is, well, she's a lot like me. She's super bubbly and optimistic, and I mean, her fucking hair's pink for crying out loud. So I should tell you a lot right there.
My hair's gone.
Yeah.
My hair's
gone. Like, do a charity stream, Joe? We should do a charity stream, and then like if we get so much money for whatever charity we're doing it for, you have to dye your beard.
Oh god.
I need the chat to back me up on
you
this.
You've put on very unstable ground there.
Rise up, Canadians. Do it.
I wonder if it would actually take, because we tried dyeing my hair the one time when I still had a little bit left. I went to Magfest. I cut it in a balding mohawk. I called it a no-hawk. And we tried to dye it, but the bleach just wouldn't take to my hair.
I've bought bleach for number one's hair before that just wouldn't take. And then you'd buy the next bottle of the same brand and it would be fine. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah, we did it at a salon. We tried getting it done right. And
Latinos, I've never let her have her hair done right. I do that shit myself. We're poor. I do dark, good, though. But
Dark Mika, make it a rainbow. We could do it during Pride Month next year.
Latino says he donate. So look there. The wet pancakes have spoken.
The wet pancakes have spoken.
Are we a gaming podcast? What happened?
I told you I don't have shit for news this week, so we're just winging this episode.
There's rumors that Square Enix is going to start their own subscription service.
No, yeah, and then Ubisoft, they have their own coming, too.
Yeah, Square Enix is dead to me.
Why?
Wow.
Because Crystal Chronicles isn't coming to Xbox. Fuck them.
That's fair.
I hope the whole
doesn't get any love from
them. Burns to the ground. I'm just like, no, fuck them.
I will say, though, it's weird seeing Crystal Chronicles come back. I still remember playing that on GameCube with the Game Boy Advance Link cables.
Hell yeah, man.
How much of a success that thing was.
Have you ever played it with four players?
No, because you can't find enough people with the game.
I did it one time at a party, and it was ridiculously fun.
I bet. The only time it will be fun, probably.
I played it by myself. While I was pregnant, and I was on bed rest, so we bought a GameCube off of eBay. And I think I've... Oh, no, that picture's with the PlayStation. I was going to say, I think I've got a picture of number one, like, wrapped up in the cords for the controllers when she was, like, 5 or 6 months old. But it's not the GameCube controllers. It was the PlayStation 1, because I was playing Parasite Eve.
Back in the days when you didn't hate PlayStation.
Didn't have a choice back then. That was before Xbox was a thing.
So what led to your hatred of PlayStation, by the way? I don't think I've ever learned this story.
I don't think there was any overwhelming reason for it. Just we got the 360. The funny part is that we got the original Xbox and David hated it so bad that he turned around and sold it within a week and I didn't even get to power it on.
Wow.
And he went and bought a PlayStation 2.
That is some hatred to give up in a week.
He just didn't like it at all. He just was not into it. And I don't remember why we got a 360 and not a PlayStation 3. I don't remember what the deal for it was, but we ended up with a 360, well, 360 and I played the shit out of it. And that's just been the way it is. But as far as my ongoing disdain for them tends to just be their anti-consumer policies.
That makes sense.
More of a part of it, 90% of it's just a joke. but I really do have problems with a lot of their anti-consumer policies.
Oh yeah.
So Those are legitimate issues, but everything else just me being goofy.
Yeah, my legitimate issue is the fact that my one PlayStation started smoking and Sony customer support was like, oh, well, too bad.
Yeah.
You're out of warranty.
No, I used to play the absolute shit out of, I played Devil May Cry and Devil May Cry 2 on PlayStation, Parasite Eve. David only beat Gran Turismo because I did it for him.
The only issue I have with PlayStation is the controller.
Yeah, the controller is also not. I hate the DualShock.
Yeah.
It's not ideal for my hand situation.
I don't think it's ideal for anyone's hand situation, no. But people got used to it.
Yeah, it does cause increased fatigue to hold my hands like that. Not comfortable.
I've always hated the DualShock, and I think the DualShock 4, while designed a bit better, is still a shitty controller because the plastic ridges on the back where the triggers are sharp, and they cut into my fingers when I play. I had to actually take a file and sand down those corners.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've never used the DualShock 4.
Played with the DualShock 4 enough to see that issue, because I just used my Xbox One controller with, what is it? Oh, what's it called?
There is a little dongle thingy that you can get that makes the Xbox controllers work in there.
Is it a Cronus Max or something?
Max, that's it.
Awesome says the Wii controller is better. I never played with a Wii. I don't.
Well, Wii controller is definitely different.
Think
for sure.
About like to reach the higher ones would probably be a problem for me.
Awesome Prime dropping 5 biddies while he's at it. You know what that means? That means that my audio is muted, so I have to do it again.
Dropping bits! Dropping bits!
Oh, man, I love it.
Have yet to hear the wet pancakes.
Well, I usually save that for when we get big bit amounts. Uh-huh. I save the longer ones for the bigger donations because they're more important. If someone takes the time to drop 5 biddies, cool. Dropping bits. If you drop 500 biddies, that gets a 10-second long clip. You've earned that one.
All right. I understand the currency system here now.
Longer is better. That's what she said.
Giggity.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay, thicker is better. Does that make more sense?
I mean, I didn't say I was arguing that it wasn't true. Just don't put it in my mouth.
Phrasing? Are we doing phrasing? Yeah. Don't put it in my mouth. Don't put it in my mouth.
This show is spiraling out of control.
Hey, after we just had a 4-hour marathon show, I don't care if we have a fuck-off episode.
We are allowed...
Man. So, Carl, what was your plan? Were you going to stick around while we did reviews, or did you want to head out when we're done chatting?
I'm here for whatever, man. I can stick around, get kicked off whenever you feel like. I don't care, man. I'm here for just chilling and having fun, man. You know me. No difference.
Well, should we dive into a couple of reviews, and you can hang out and chat with us, Carl?
Sure.
Cole, you ready?
I mean, I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Cool. Well, then the first game that we're going to talk about tonight is called DayZ, developed and published by Bohemia Interactive. It released May 29th on the PS4, previously on Xbox One and PC for $49.99. This post-Soviet country of Chernarus, is that what it is?
I hope so.
All right. Chernarus is struck by an unknown virus, turning the majority of the population into frenzied infected. Fighting over resources has bred a hostile mentality among survivors, driving what's left of humanity to collapse. You are one of the few immune to the virus. How far will you go to survive? Cole, tell us about it.
I have one note written down on my notepad for DayZ.
Is that your entire review? Just one note?
I mean, I intend to explain it, but it's literally just one word and two letters.
Let's hear it.
Broken AF. And I cannot tell you how sad it made me to write that down, because I wanted to fucking love this game. And I just wrote it down and closed the book, and I went to bed, and I gave up.
Oh, wow.
And it hurts, because I this is literally everything in a survival horror type game that I should love. there's you start off by being on an open server. There's plenty of servers to choose from, but this is where my first instance went awry. I couldn't connect to the first three servers, even though they were supposed to be East Coast in New York. The fourth one I finally get connected to, but
in Belgium.
No, I was still East Coast New York, but it had a low player count. It just straight up said low. The other one said medium and high, and I was going for the medium, and I couldn't connect to them. And the one that I did connect to said low, and I was like, rip. because it is this huge open world game, and it's kind of like Ark with a battle royale twist that just never fucking ends. And you're dropped into this world as a survivor. You don't literally drop in. Nobody's asking where we drop in, boys, but you just wake up in this world as a survivor. And you need to find materials. You need to find a backpack, and you need to find weapons, and you need to find food and learn how to take out the zombies and take out other players so that you can survive. You can form alliances with other players. And yet it's so bare bones and broken that you can't actually do any of those things well.
Man, in what ways is it broken?
The inventory system will very much remind you of PUBG, but like first days PUBG when that shit was broken too. In that you pull up the inventory if you can finally figure out how to do it. I'm still not sure which button was doing it. I was just randomly mashing, hoping one worked. I think it might have been the back button. I can't promise. But when the inventory would finally come up, you have the tab on the left, and it's all just ugly, janky UI. Oh my god, it's the worst looking UI I've ever seen. And you have your tab on your left, which shows you what's in your vicinity, much like PUBG will show you what's on the floor, and you can pick it up from that tab, or you can just hold X to pick it up. It's the same premise, which is not a bad thing. As far as UIs go in battle royales, I prefer PUBG, so I was actually kind of like, oh hey, I know how to work this system, except I didn't know how to work this system because it doesn't work. So you can see what's in the vicinity. Then you can also have there's a section in the center for what is in your hands, and then there is also a section on the right to show what you have on you. So you can, one of the neat things is that you can put things in your pocket. So if you've got a hoodie, you've got pockets, and if you're wearing like a pea coat, it's got more pockets than a hoodie does. Or if you're wearing cargo pants as opposed to regular blue jeans, again, you've got more pockets, you can carry more shit.
Yeah.
Which is really good in theory. But the problem with the game is that you can't use anything unless it's specifically in your hands. So you have to go into the inventory, move it from your pocket to your hand, go out of your inventory, and then use it. Now you can use the quick slot, but again, whether or not it actually works is up in the air.
No.
It's incredibly janky, and you can put shit in the quick slot and then it never goes anywhere. And then even still, to use it, like you play Ark or PUBG or anything like that, and you've got your hotbar, and you can just press a simple combination of buttons or whatever, like in PUBG, if you need to use a med kit, you just press down. I never figured out how to use the meds. Never. Like, I tried everything under the sun. Most things, like, I did figure out how to eat and drink. Like, you could, and you do have to, you know, monitor things like that. So, like, once I figure out how to get it in my hand, press, pull the right trigger, and it will eat or drink or whatever. Tried that with Band-Aids? Nothing. I'm like, I don't know what I did wrong. Nothing fucking happened. Same with weapons. There was no, like, hot swapping weapons. I couldn't just press Y and take my shovel off of my back or my axe off my back or my gun when I finally did fucking find one. None of that happened. It had to all be manually done. I had to go in, put it on a hot were on the quick slot and hope that it worked when I pressed the button. And then it didn't, and I'd have to go into the inventory and actually manually move it to my hands. I found a pair of shoes and walked around with them in my fist for like 15 minutes because I couldn't understand the UI to put them on my feet. And in order to do that, I had to actually go in, drop the ones I had, put the ones from my hands to my feet, put the other ones in my hands, then I could get rid of them. It was just excessive. Did you die?
Are
you
yes.
Okay. Yeah, everything was super quiet, and I was afraid. I know, everything got super quiet. Oh, shit. The zombies are coming. Speaking of zombies, this game only has 13 achievements, and my thought when I was like looking through, I was like, oh, I bet I could sit here and do all these in one setting.
Nope.
No. Because I am pretty sure I killed several swarms of zombies, and I still don't have the achievement for killing a zombie.
Just a zombie? Like,
a zombie. You just gotta kill one for an achievement. One! Couldn't do it. So, I don't know. They were very dead. I beat their heads in with a pickaxe. The achievement doesn't fucking care. I'm assuming it only counts if you do it with a gun, and I found a gun. And I was walking around and like trying to kill them. And again, you have to go into the inventory to manage your ammo and stuff. And the ammo I had found wasn't for the gun I had. And so that motherfucker was just click, 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 click. It wouldn't do anything. And then to top all of this off, by the time I'm finally getting to a point where I understand how to use the inventory system.
Finally.
I've killed several zombies. My achievement won't pop. It's fine. I'm exploring. Everything's gorgeous. The world is incredibly pretty. It's a little janky in some places, but it's incredibly pretty, especially if you're like out in the woods and stuff and you're hunting. For all my efforts, I managed to learn how to use the inventory system. I was rocking it. I was not dead.
Proud of you.
Then I get an alert that the server's shutting down in 15 minutes. I've never been so goddamn depressed in my life. I just look at the little red letters in the corner and I'm like, fuck is this?
That seems like an absolutely perfect time to get your verdict. So for $50 on DayZ, what do you say?
$50? No. Skip it. Deny it. I'm sorry. I want to love it, but given that it spent so much time in game preview and it's still so fucking broken, it's really hard to tell somebody, hey, go throw $50 at this.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been more enjoyable if I could have drug somebody else along with me, because my entire time with the game, I never saw anybody else.
Man.
And that definitely is another tick in it, considering, like, you know, there's
the point of the game is seeing other people.
Handcuffing people and stuff. It's supposed to be like a battle royale survival with zombies. And it's missing, I would say, 2/3 of its promise. Because even the zombies are like so scarce.
Damn.
And they just kind of like, they only start popping up if you stay in an area too long.
Jeez.
I don't understand why this is so broken. Why?
Well, that is a bummer.
I think all their design budget went to making pretty trees.
It's possible.
They are pretty trees, though.
Carl, any questions about DayZ?
No, not really. Honestly, not really a game that's been on my radar. Not my cup of tea.
I wanted it to be my cup of tea.
Well, maybe the next one will be your cup of tea, because the next game to talk about is called As Divine Dios, developed by XCreate, published by Chemco. Awesome Prime just dropped 10 biddies, so you know what that means. perfect timing.
Dropping bits!
Oh, damn it, Prime. Right in the middle of an intro, too. Anyway, As Divine Dios, developed by XCreate, published by Chemco, released June 5th on Xbox One for $14.99. When a spate of disturbances erupt across the globe and an ever-spreading murk threatens to destroy it, Izayoi? Jesus.
I've been saying Izayoi, I don't know.
Izayoi?
Sounds like Izayoi. Yeah.
Izayoi.
the person, the deity of Asdivine himself, takes up his cause to save the world he created with his own hands. Suffering from an unfortunate loss of his own divine powers, is there any hope he can succeed? Cole, did you succeed?
I mean, I was certainly fucking overpowered. That seems to be my forte with these Kimco and XP Create games. I will say, I did not play as Divine Hearts, and so I was a little concerned going into this one that I'd be lost or confused somehow. Kimco and X-Create don't do sequels well. And there's jack shit to do with anything else as Divine beside the name. And that tends to be their modus operandi. I went and did some searching because I was like, okay, am I going to be confused? And everybody else is like, no.
Hey, standalone stories and RPGs work just fine for me because it means you don't have to catch up on anything or play through a bunch of other games you may not play.
You could easily pick this one up and not know shit about As Divine Hearts, because I only know what I know about As Divine Hearts from Mika's review, because I didn't do that one by the grace of God somehow. I don't know. It was one of them I didn't do. But I didn't have any idea beyond what I knew of Mika saying about it, what I had was going into, and yet I was totally following the story just fine. And I will say, of all the X-Create and Kimco games that you've had me review, both visually and story-wise, this one is by far one of the best.
Nice.
I didn't have any trouble keeping up with the story. And some of the other ones, the stories are kind of just all over the place and really hard to trace. This one, it's very solid. It's very linear. It's very well explained. I did have a few problems with it. It kind of quips that there's some unusual comments between the characters regarding their relationships to each other. And so then, like, it's very adamant that some of the characters have a crush on Izayoi. Yaoi. I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Friggin' names, man.
Yeah.
Why can't it just be like
on
Ben?
On the deity, it's very clear they have a crush on the deity dude, and yet at the same time, they kind of refer to him as father. And then also at the same time, like, they're in fighting with each other, the other girls in the party, because they've all crushed on them some way or another. And so then, like, they're infighting with each other over it, and it's just all very awkward. And then, likewise, the townspeople, when you're chatting with them, they will keep bringing up, like, subtle insinuations that maybe, and sometimes not so subtle, sometimes it just flat out says, I hope he's not abusing all those girls.
Oh, wow.
And you're like, that's a little too real there, guys. Maybe dial it back some. It's definitely a little tough to choke down in that regard. And I think that there may just be an essence of, like, translation and any kind of nuance to the relationships get lost in translation, or it could just be a fucked up Japanese thing where they don't give a damn.
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah. You know, sprinkle some of this, sprinkle some of that. It's weird. And I tried to just do my best to gloss over those parts of the story and just go back to having fun turn-based combat where I'm smashing monsters. There's also one other part with the story that really just got under my skin. I mention it all the time. These are ports from mobile games. Yep. And it's very common in mobile games for them to be like, don't forget to give us 5-star review. You know, if you're having fun, please give us a review. There's one whole fucked up section where you go into where, like, they break the fourth wall. The developers come out as little characters. They're like, please go review our game. I'm like, oh my fucking God, get this out of here. Let me go.
I want to play this game now. That sounds amazing.
I am reviewing this game.
Did you give it a review on Microsoft Store?
Fucking no, I did not, because I'm giving it a review right now. This is my whole point of being here.
I want to see that footage of the developers coming out. That sounds amazing.
And they have like totally generic. There's no way these guys' real names are like Steve and Mike. There's no way. You can't fool me. But a little dude come on. They're like, you know, and they're like, boy, oh, what's the little redheaded chick? And now all of a sudden I can't remember her name either. Shit. They're like, she's cute, huh? Maybe she can lure you into reviewing the game because she's cute. I'm like, but that doesn't work on me. I don't have a dick.
Oh, my lord.
I cannot appeal to weeb senses that I don't fucking have. I'm not Mika. It's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Are you going to review the game? Fucking no, get out of my way. Let me just go smash monsters. Anyway, so I was miffed about that. That's a pet peeve of mine. I will say, though, that As far as like actual gameplay and everything goes, this was definitely one of the stronger ones that I've reviewed. I liked it better. It was definitely scaled down. There wasn't a lot of muck. There weren't a whole lot of options for how to customize your character, but what was there was pretty straightforward. You know, you could pick your weapon. You could pick your garb. You had a couple of pieces of jewelry you could wear. You had a couple extra boosts, and that was about the long and short of it. The weapons did have, weapons did have different perks that could be on them, and it was almost kind of division-y, like, okay, I'm looking for this type of talent that I can transport to this weapon because I like it better than that weapon or whatever. It does more damage. Yeah. And, I was able to go in and, like, you know, craft a little bit to make weapons that I liked better. And again, that's kind of how I ended up being just stupid-ass overpowered most of the game. I'm just, like, walking by hitting shit one time. Oh, you want to fight me? Wham. Done. Bye.
Peace.
Yep. There's also the ability, in other ones of these games, they usually use the term fusion. And it's a little more complicated, and like you have to fuse different types of classes and characters and what have you. This is far more easy to handle. It's just called a unison, and it just puts everybody's skill together into one attack, which was really cool. And again, I was so overpowered, I still didn't ever even need to use it.
Nice.
I was like, this is unnecessary. I can just hit a couple times and keep going. It's a nice little option, but it's not necessary. But yeah, beyond all that, the animations in this are definitely solid. The art style is consistent. That's one of my big pet peeves, especially with like the 3D ones, because it'll be 3D when you're exploring, and then you had 2D pixels when you're in a fight, and then there's like this weird flat art style and, you know, like traditional manga when they're talking, and it's like, okay, but pick one.
Welcome to JRPGs.
Yeah, this one is far more solid. It does have all the action takes place in little pixel art style, which is pretty, and it's really well done. It's definitely one of the better pixelated games that they've made. And it does have like the traditional manga character heads popping up when they're talking, but at least it's far more consistent. Like when you go into a fight, it's still the same type of art style, and it still carries that out through cutscenes and everything, rather than trying to swap it up to five different genres at once. But yeah, it's definitely one of the better ones if you can get past the weird relationship quirks in the story.
Yeah, well, $15 on it, what do you say?
I'm going to give this one a buy it.
Nice.
I tend to be a little harder on these, especially because there are so fucking many and they are mobile ports, but this one's pretty solid. This one is, if you were going to buy any of the X-Create Kimco RPGs just to start with, I'd say start with this one.
Nice. Dark Mika says, how the hell do they make money when they release like 8 or 9 of these a year? They're so bloody many, you can't even 100% one of them before the next two are out. They make money because I buy them all.
Yeah.
There's people Joe like me.
Single-handedly keeping the studio afloat.
There's people like me who just want to support RPGs on Xbox. So that's why they're still in business. You're welcome, Kemco. All right. Well, the next game to talk about is called Draugen, developed and published by Red Thread Games, released May 29th on Steam for $19.99. Draugen is a single-player, first-person, fjord noir mystery set in the 1920s Norway. Explore a picturesque coastal community in your search for your missing sister, accompanied by your gregarious and enigmatic young ward. Checking this one out was Dark Mika. She wrote in a review, and Carl, you're going to read it for us.
Yeah. So, here's what we got. Draugen is a horror-slash-mystery-ish walking sim set in Norway. You, Edward, and your companion Elizabeth cross at a fjord into the tiny, itty-bitty, not-even-speck-on-the-map town called Gravik. Like one of those places that has maybe 100 people in it? Maybe. Yeah, that kind of nowhere. All offense to those who live in nowheres. You know it's a nowhere. I know it's a nowhere. Let's not pretend it's something. It's a fucking nowhere. You're looking for your journalist sister, Betty. It's 1920. And you're a little too invested in your sister. Just throwing that out there, Edward, you're fucking creepy dude. Anyways, it's a walking sim. You can interact with some things.
I'm sensing a theme here, though.
Yeah, a little bit here. Anyways, it's a walking sim. You can interact with some things which provide conversation bits between Teddy and Lissy. Edward has Elizabeth's pet names for each other. Even though he's like in his late 30s, she's 17, but you know, whatever. Creepy motherfucker be creepy. The interactions between the characters are rather amusing. Teddy is this very depressive... He's refined, but a home buddy type, a stick in the mud, if you will. Lissy is very charismatic, tomboyish, kind of a rebel, at least during the time period, because she's very not ladylike. For instance, she likes to play in the mud, talks about wanting to be naked, and climbs trees. The game takes a hot minute to load, but that's because it loads literally the entire map, which honestly isn't super large, but it's not small by any means. It's a small town. Also, the game is fairly pretty, albeit not quite photorealistic. It does require a decent computer to play it. Mine kept crashing the game every so often because my graphics card just wasn't quite up to snuff. Granted, it didn't seem to matter if I had it on the lowest or ultra settings, so I don't know. The game itself is a massive mystery, not only looking for Betty or wondering why Edward has such a hard-on about sister, but also because he had to figure out about the town's past, why he can't find anyone, and what's happened to them all. Solving one mystery may just be the key to solving the others, and though you'll probably always wonder about what's up with Edward and his unhealthy attachment to his sister. Though, I blame it on the 1920s, he's a man, and that time period, it's all very weird. For $20, it's about 8 hours-ish long thereabouts. You can play it faster or slower. Some have reported to be able to beat it in 3 hours. I think that's a bit nuts, but meh. Don't think you'll need to spend more than 10 hours to soak in everything this game has and do absolutely everything in it other than maybe solve Edward's obsession with Sister Betty. I think it's a try-it game. I thought the interactions and just Lissy overall was fantastic, but the game I think could put a lot of people off because it's a walking sim and a slow one at that, and Edward is just a boring old bean. So I think it's solid try-it at least to a debatable totally buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You read through that like a champ. I stumble over right? her so many times.
Do you know how many times I've read a Mika review and literally choked up and had to stop and try again?
Carl, you're hired.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Got my replacement.
Fuck you guys. I'm out of here. This sucks. I don't want to work with you. Oh, man. Anyway, the next game to talk about is called Omen Sight, developed by Spearhead Games, published by Digirati, released June 7th on Xbox One for $19.99. The kingdom of Euralia is gone, annihilated by a dark deity. In this action murder mystery game, you are the Harbinger, a mythical warrior who must relive and repeat Euralia's final day to survive or to solve a mysterious murder and save the world. Talk with the inhabitants of the war-torn Euralia, separate truth from lies, and use the power of Omen Sight to alter their fates. Cole, tell us about Omen Sight.
I mean, that's pretty much the long and short of it.
All right, then, for $20, what do you say?
I will say that this game is fucking gorgeous. It has a little bit of a low poly, not like super low poly where it's just like triangles everywhere. You can make out shapes and understand what it's trying to convey, but it does have a little more stylized art style to it. There's just the color choices are fucking incredible. Everything just looks like it's glowing in the world. It's well illustrated.
So it's pretty.
It's pretty. I just cannot get that across enough. Like so much of my time that I spent playing it was just like, excuse me, I'm looking at candles right now and they're pretty and I don't want to be interrupted and told to go do shit. The funny part is like, if you wander off and you're looking around exploring, you're rewarded for exploring. There's always something to go find. Nice. But the companion that is with you will criticize the shit out of you for doing it. We don't have all day, Harbinger. And I'm like, no, we totally do. It's my time. I decide when we go through that fucking door.
You don't know me. Best, I do what I want.
One of the best is like, there's an achievement for jumping on all of your companions' heads. I don't know why. I'm That's assuming beautiful. Maybe it's a reference to that story's Path of Destinies. I never played that one. I missed out. This is in the same universe, but you can play it totally separately without having played the other one. And like there was one where I was trying to jump on Radica's head, and like I kept missing because she's a fucking little tiny rat. And I was trying to jump on her head for the achievement, and she's like, the more I jump around, she's like, are you trying to get adopted by the rabbit clan? Like, yes, now that you said it, I am. I want to go be a bunny. Where's that option at when I'm at the hub world?
Quit game, become bunny.
Yeah. So this is gameplay wise. This is a 3D action adventure game. There is some mild platforming. It's not anything, overwhelming as far as goes. I did fall off a couple of times because I'm an idiot, but there's plenty of checkpoints. You know, if you don't struggle, you're going to do fine. But if you do struggle, there's checkpoints. I lost my train of thought.
Good job.
I'll tell you why I struggle with that, though. And I don't know if you watched Shiz when he streamed this, but I have the same complaint he did. It has a semi-fixed camera system. And so you can kind of nudge the camera to the left or the right or up or down just a smidge, but it's stuck. You're not going to fully be able to rotate. And given that it's three-dimensional, and you have that 3D platforming element, even though it's minor and it's not like massive platforming segments or anything, you're just like going up some platforms to get to the next hole in the wall or whatever, being stuck can really just be a pain in the ass. And it's even more problematic when you're in combat. And honest to goodness, I've enjoyed this game so much that camera is the only thing I can fixate on to bitch about.
Wow.
And I get why they've done it, because they want you to go off and veer and explore, because exploring the world and running into these different scenarios is how you progress the story. It's basically like a murder mystery on a time loop. And every you restart the day, you choose which companion you're gonna pluck. Fuck. The companion that you're gonna be with for that day. And so you're gonna see everything that they went through. And as you replay, you find different paths to unlock that changes the story and gives you more information.
That's cool.
It's so well done and it's so carefully planned out, but they want you to take that risk of, am I going to keep going the way that I am, or am I going to go see if there is something over there that might change the path? So I understand why the fixed camera is a thing. It's just that it's still a bitch.
Well, that minor gripe aside, $15, what do you say? $20, what do you say?
I give it a buy it. It's so, so incredibly well done. I will say I did have one issue. I haven't made it to the ending completely on my playthrough because I've just been going through and trying to find all the secrets and shit before I get to the end. But I actually saw both endings. And there's, well, I assume that there's only two. There's a good and the bad. And I was a little disappointed with the way that the good ending ends for one character. It's kind of unsatisfying. But for all the others, it's like, oh, all the others get this incredible ending. And then this one's just like, well, fuck. What the hell was that all about? And I think it's even weirder because the same character gets like this incredible epic ending in the bad ending. And then in the good ending, it's like, nah, they were insignificant.
Maybe they're meant to be bad.
I didn't like the way that it ended for that one particular character. Like everything else was fine.
Yeah.
But I still say that it's a buy it. It's a really fun experience. It's really well thought out, like all of the paths and different ways that you can play it. It's really had a lot of love and care put into it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
And it's pretty.
It's pretty.
Yeah, I took a look at the art design. It reminds me a lot of Dust and Elysian Tail.
That's what it reminded me of, too.
I love that game.
Yeah, it was like if Dust had been
a
poly 3D experience, and it would have. It's a lot of the same emotion. I'm
still pissed that Dust got a PS4 version, but not an Xbox One version.
Why was it? Was it made by Square Enix?
No, it was originally
Summer of Arcade.
Yeah, it was originally published by Microsoft. So that shit's weird.
Yeah,
rude.
Sons of bitches. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Verlet Swing, developed by Flamebait Games and Stage Clear Studios, published by Digirati, released June 11th on PS4, 14th on Xbox One and Switch for $14.99. Grab your hookshot and enter the surreal fever dreams, an eccentric world where weird stuff happens, where statues stare you down and you die on impact with any of your surroundings. That's Verlet Swing, an abstract gauntlet that transforms into weirder and more challenging courses as you sail and soar through the strange landscapes of koi fish, pizza slices, and other bizarre obstacles. Cole, what the hell is this game?
I love when the summary does all the hard work for me. Because what she just said, that's what I said the whole fucking time I played it. Like, there was literally one instance where, for one thing, it does leave out. We'll back up for a second. It does leave out that this is like a physics-based type of game, and you're literally trying to like swing around these obstacles to get to an endpoint in each level. And if you touch literally anything, start over. You're fucked. Rip you. So you have to really be careful and you have to plan your way. But everything is changing in the levels all the time. And you may have like a series of podiums that are set up that you can swing from. And you're like, it's no big deal. And then it might start raining meatballs.
I mean, that's what happens, right?
Or the gravity might change and become 2.5 times more effective. Or time will speed up 2 times and everything's moving faster. And then the next time you go at it, you might find that you don't explode when you know, and die when you hit something. Now you're bouncy and you might just take off bouncing.
Whee!
I had to bounce one and I thought I was going to hit the portal at the end, but I just barely missed it because it is first person. And so like I bounced up past it. And I literally, like, I had to have broken the game because I just kept going up and up and up and up. And I literally sat there for about 10 to 12 minutes waiting. And then I started to gradually fall back down.
Tell me you waited it out.
I did. I waited it out. I got an achievement for going some ridiculous speed. And then I just finally hit the portal and I was like, that was worth it. The entire
time thing on the level, 27 minutes.
Yeah, and I let it go. David is watching me. He's like, the fuck are you doing? I was like, just wait for it. Because I knew physics had to be on my side. Yeah. I was gonna hit that portal. What goes up must come down.
That's amazing.
So I just waited it out. I will say, this has Mixer integration.
What's the Mixer integration do? Did you get to test it out?
I did not test it out, but I know what it does anyway, because when you are playing, it has a bar up at the top with a timer, and it'll say 1, 2, or 3. And basically, like, 1 is raining meatballs, 2 is increased gravity, and 3 is, I don't know, bouncy. Top 3 off my head. And so basically people on Mixer vote 1, 2, or 3 before time runs out, and then that's what affects your run. But even if you're not using Mixer integration, it'll just randomly pick one to make shit go awry for you anyway. It's seriously challenging. It's very fucked up. It's very weird. It's very surreal. I do have a problem with it in that it's hard on your eyes. It's almost like they tried to make it, you know how, like, when you're looking at something that's meant to be 3D and you don't have 3D glasses on and it's got, like, the red and blue chroma layers?
Yeah.
It looks like that, but in pink and teal.
Mm. Okay, so it's like 3D glasses effect.
Yeah, it looks like it's trying to give that 3D glasses effect, but it just makes everything, like, hard to focus on.
Oh, man, what if you had the pink and...
chromatic aberration.
What if you had the pink and teal 3D glasses? I wonder if they would work.
Then you're even more fucked.
I don't know.
Either that, or you can actually see in 3D.
That would be cool as shit.
It definitely looks like it could work. It certainly gives that 3D effect even on a flat screen where you're just like, this is...
Doesn't Minecraft have an effect that does that?
Does it?
I think it does. Yeah. It's just one of those things where every once in a while a developer will just throw it in out of nowhere and you pull out your 3D glasses and see if it works.
Wow.
You know, because that's just something we have on hand.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. I
mean, you don't. But it does make it really stressful, and like I found it that I just wanted to play in small spurts and only do a couple levels at a time. The other stressful thing with it is that even though you have level select, it's progress based. And that's really weird given that there's no story, there's no justification for why anything is what it is. It's just you can't go to the next level unless you beat that one. Fuck you. It would be a little nicer if you could just, like, flip around and try the levels, because they don't get any more difficult. They don't add anything different. They're just different shapes and obstacles. Joe's having a party over there.
I am. I'm sliding my chair around. I was looking to see if I could find something, and I did.
You were looking for 3D glasses, aren't you?
You're goddamn right. I'm looking for 3D glasses.
Oh my just god.
Full on. Oh shit.
That's fantastic. We've gone
literally back to the 80s right now. Go ahead and get your Pop Rocks and New Coke now.
I forgot that I had a copy of Mayhem for the Xbox 360, which includes 3D glasses.
Oh my god.
So.
That's great.
They are unfortunately the red and blue and not the teal and pink, so yeah. I can't test out Verlet Swing.
Oh man, I think I'd try it anyway just to see what happens. You'd probably puke because you get motion sick.
Oh, I tried playing Verlet Swing. It did not go well at all.
Why don't we ever get live streams of that shit? Like, you stream when you play Rock Band, but you don't stream when you play the shit that makes you puke.
See, Joe just needs to stream Old School Musical and play Chicken Republic. That'll make you puke.
Old School Musical. I don't think I played that one.
Oh my god. What's missing out. It's on Switch and Steam.
Well, I will have to check it out on the Switch then.
It is phenomenal.
I'm going to guess that we covered it on the show, and I'm just too stupid to remember.
I will recommend, if you do play it on Switch, play it in docked mode, because there is no calibration that you can do in handheld.
No.
So, it kind of breaks the game there.
Well, I will have to check that out. But anyway, Verlet Swing, Cole, what do you think of it?
I do give it a try. I think it's a really unique gameplay mechanic. I think if you're a streamer and you can, you know, put that Mixer Interactive to use and actually, you know, like, have the game changing up on the fly based on what your audience is choosing, that would be a lot of fun. But It is visually difficult. There are over 100 fucking levels.
That's a lot.
Yeah. There's five areas with 20 levels per area. So good luck. You're going to need it, but it is a lot of fun. And obviously some runs are easier than others, depending on what kind of power ups or power downs get thrown your way. But it is a lot of fun. It's just hard to look at.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is a preview of the game Night Call, developed by Monkey Moon and Black Muffin, published by Raw Fury. It'll be out sometime this summer on Steam. Night Call is a murder mystery noir game set in Paris. You are a taxi driver working to earn enough to pay your bills while aiding the investigation by doing what you do best, getting people to talk while you have their attention. Dark Mika checked this one out, and here's what she's got to say as I burp. Night Call seems to be the taxi version of the dystopian, quote, cops are cunts genre that games like Papers, Please brought to popularity. You play some taxi driver in Paris. You and your passenger were the victim of an assault with a deadly weapon with the intent to kill. Only you didn't die, so woot! Now though the main lead cop here and her shitty captain, while they both kind of have you in their sights, they know you can't be the person, but they're happy to pin it on you anyways, because you know, quote, cops are cunts. So now you're forced to be this bitch's confidential informant, or CI as it is. You look into stuff she gives you after work, and otherwise you choose which customers to pick up and which, and you interact with to see how you fit. What the hell, Dark Mika? You interact with them to see how you see fit. Ugh, I can't read. Carl, I should have just sent this one to you too. Shit.
Should have, man.
Oh man. I told you, you're better at reading than me. Anyway, you're paid every day. With that cash, the bank takes money out of it for having an account. You have to pay to fill up on gas. You have to pay 25% to the company, etc. So yeah, Papers, Please, it very much is. It has a nice art style with everything being black and white, and almost all of it being black. It looks cool. Also, I kind of like the interactions you have with normal people that you pick up. One of the two I saw in the first night, which was all the preview it had, was super sweet, and one I could really believe with a bike courier in winter talking about how just meh her job is, but how she'd rather it be her old one. The other was a politician who just kind of admitted to some shady shit and wanted to lose a briefcase in the cab for someone else to claim at Central Station where Lost and Found is. Like, I don't believe that for a second. All these games have shit like that, though. Not everything will be believable for the sake of the game, so I could put that to the side. If you like Papers, Please, then I totally suggest you keep an eye on this. Otherwise, I don't know if this is going to make you like it any more than any others in the genre, whatever that genre is anyways. What is the genre called?
Management? I don't know.
Because I don't think we could call them the cops or cunt genre.
Like Papers, Please, I always filed under the micromanagement of screen real estate genre. I think is just using a computer simulator.
Well, it sounds like a neat game, so that might be something to keep an eye on. Again, that one releases in the summer sometime from Raw Fury. I'm sure we'll have more on that one as it gets closer to release. Yep, but final game to talk about tonight is called Doodle God Evolution, developed and published by JoyBits, released June 13th on Xbox One for $14.99. Unleash your imagination and be a god. Create and change your planet with each new reaction. The whole world is in your hands. Cole, tell us about it.
I made a very volatile world on accident. It was an accident, but I learned how to make fire and or lava before I learned to make literally anything else. So
nice.
Wasn't my fault.
Oh, God.
So this is basically the same premise as any other of the Doodle God games. If you've played them before, you're already on board with how they work. You have a little notebook. You have your elements. In this case, you start off with fire, water, air, and earth. And you need to make combinations from the elements that you have available to create new elements. And then before you know it, you've got a full-fledged civilization up and running, and then you kill them all with lava because that's what I did. It was an accident.
Yay!
You get to a point where, like, you get stuck. And so you just start randomly trying to match things together and hope that you can do something good to carry you through to the next, you know, set of elements, and then you actually fuck up and you burn everything down. That would be
beautiful.
That would be me. I love like you can twist the planet around too, and like if you make more lava, it pops up more volcanoes, and like I'm twisting my little planet around, and there's just volcanoes and stores of metal, and just like I may have made some mistakes as a god. Okay. Had the training wheels on and burnt some things down. I did get to go on an island vacation though, so that was fun. Wasn't all terrible. I got to take the human on a little vacation, and then he might have starved because I couldn't get him a deer, but it's fine. I'm a really bad god.
It's okay. I still believe in you.
Even at a point and click where you're just matching two things together at a time, I'm just like, burn it all.
Burn this bitch to the ground.
How many ways can I make them miserable? But it is so much fun to play these. I think if you've played a lot of them, and you're like playing them back to back and stacking them for achievements and shit, you're going to be like, this is exhausting and very repetitive. But this is something that it's better to just play in little spurts here and there as like a palate cleanser. Can't English. It's been a long night.
See, I'm not the only one. Are you telling me it's better to play a game as it's intended instead of just playing it nonstop and then stacking them for achievements?
Yeah, I mean, and you could do that because this is an easy completion. Achievements were just popping left, right, and center. Nice. But I just enjoyed it to sit down, take 20 minutes or so, click through. I was actually dual playing this at one point because I was working on OmenSat on the Xbox, and I was playing Doodle God on the loading screen.
Amazing.
And I was just like, well, it's loading. And I should have mentioned that in my OmenSat review. And I got so sidetracked on it being pretty that I forgot to mention that it has some god awful load times. But that, if you stuck around and listened to this one, then now you know.
People sticking around. That's hilarious.
But I was just. It my computer runs for shit, but it's Windows Play, or it's Microsoft Play Anywhere. And so if you got it on Xbox, you got it on your computer, load it up, click through a couple of games here and there and make you some shit and have a good time.
Awesome. So $15. What do you think?
I give it a buy. It. These are so much fun. Like the first one came out and I kind of snubbed my nose at it. I was like, it's just silly and I don't have time to play something like that. I got to go shoot things. I feel a little ashamed now because I've played a couple of these and I'm just like, I secretly love these. I just want to take 20 minutes here or there, click through, make a few elements, burn the world down, do it again tomorrow.
Win-win.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for the reviews. Cole, do you have a pick of the week?
Despite the god-awful load times, OmenSight.
Nice.
Surprise. I'm sad because I know when I finish it, I'm going to be a little disappointed in the good ending. But yeah, it plays so well that it definitely takes the cake.
Awesome. Well, that is it for this episode. Carl, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Hey, glad to be a part of this, man.
It's a pleasure to have a guest on the show, and it's a pleasure to have a guest who hung out for the reviews.
Right? That's rare.
That is very rare, and we even got you to read one.
Hell yeah.
You're hired. Enjoyed it.
I've been over this. I'm not replacing you.
Son of a bitch, please.
Show's over there. Free me from this hell.
Listen to her voice. It never ends.
It really doesn't.
So
go ahead, ask me what time the show starts.
Oh, God. Cole, what time did the show start?
9.
9. Snapper. Ass.
My jaw popped, man. And I said, I don't know if the mic picked it up. My jaw popped.
No, I didn't hear it. Man. So, Carl, where can people keep up to date with what you are doing and where you're streaming? Give us all the info.
All right. So normally Jesse and I do Rock Band streams on Sundays. Normally have our shenanigans every Sunday, starting early in the morning, go until whenever the hell we feel like it. Drinks are usually part of the menu there.
Usually?
Okay. So let's just say they are part of what we do on Sundays, and we are very good at it. So normally we're playing Rock Band. This is kind of the off season for Rivals. So we've been doing Borderlands and basically whatever else we want to do. This Sunday is actually going to be a little bit different because Jesse's birthday celebration. So we're looking at maybe a Saturday night stream, but anyway, during the week, I'm normally streaming after work in the mornings. So yeah, mostly chill time during the week.
And where can people find you?
We are on Night on Fire. Spelled completely incorrectly because Night on Fire was taken. So go Twitch.
Well, we will have a link to your channel in the show notes so people could check it out.
Right.
Again, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us and keeping us company. It has been a pleasure. We are going to end the show with a couple of songs from one of your favorites, Carl. We're going to go with some Stemmage. Do you have any requests?
Oh, hell yes. Let's go Brinstar. Take it old school.
Anything else?
Just continue that album, man.
Alrighty. So here is some Stemmage. Carl, do you have any final words to end the show?
Not really. Love y'all faces and, yeah, rock on.